Blog Talk Radio. your God Almighty, who art
His grace is kindness and good to all. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. So we bless the Lord and give you praise. Thank you.
Thank you. promise he will be your every need. And then he will respond to that cry in your heart. He will touch you and set you free.
Drop, but we thank God the woman of God is on the line, so we're going to let her come on in because I got to go and do some work. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you for this opportunity to come at your table this afternoon and hear a word from you, oh God, to feast on this glorious message that you have given your servant for your people. We ask, Father God, that you would use her, oh God, that you would use her. Lord God, that you would touch her lips, touch her eyes and her ears of clay. And God, that everything that she speak today would bring glory to your name, O God. It would edify your body. It would glorify your name, and it would terrify the devil, O God, which is the enemy of the cross. So, Father, we ask, Lord God, that you allow her to settle down, O God, as she take up her word and get ready to deliver a strong message to us, your people that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Father, we are praising you, and we are glorifying you for her safety. Keep her daughter safe while she is out camping. Lord, we ask, oh God, Lord, keep her mother, her brothers, sisters, all her family, all those that are connected. Keep her husband safe, Lord, And Lord, we know that all this stuff that's going on with the government, it's going to happen sooner than soon, oh God, that he'll be able to come to the United States and be with his wife and his stepdaughter. Lord, we just bless you for all that you're doing for her and for her family. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on in, Minister Butmus, and let the Lord use you. Come on in.
Amen. Can you hear me?
Yes, amen.
Okay. Amen. Good morning, Apostle. Good morning to everyone. Good afternoon. I just thank God for this word today. I thank God for just being here. I thank God for honestly giving me the energy to be able to do this because I've worked all every day this week, and I have to work tonight at 7 until 12:30. So I just thank God for strength. You know, every day I've been off by 12:30, get home, and, you know, God is just keeping me. And that's what God does. He keeps us, you know. He allow us to just continue to stand and keep going. And he knows our hearts. He knows our desire. He knows our needs. So whatever it is that we are in need of, God will always see us through. So the word that the Lord gave me is loving beyond our hurts. And when I received this word, like, God really dealt with me. And what I heard, and I know, Apostle, you always say the subtopic. So if this were to have a subtopic, this is what I heard. How do you love or forgive someone who has hurt you? Loving beyond our hurts. Again, when I received this word, I was trying to write on Monday because Monday, the only time I had off was Sunday last week and Monday. And I'm like, Lord, I don't have any time this week to write because I'm coming in so late. So I started meditating from Sunday and meditated on Monday, and I'm, you know, I had a different topic that I was like thinking of, and God just kept putting this one on my heart. And then he dealt with me. So when I received this topic, God surely, like I said, touched my heart, brought to light everything that was in me, and I was in tears. I started crying. I was asking God for forgiveness, and I was asking God to help me to learn to find love and peace towards my brother, my older brother. And I believe I shared on this line about 3 years ago when I left my old church, my brother and I, we had an argument, and he said some very hurtful stuff. And, you know, I said, okay, you know, I cried. I never responded because, ever since I am a child, I give respect to everyone. And for me to really say something, or I would say, like, go really hard at someone, I would have to be in a mindset that I'm not at. And when my brother, you know, I love my brother, and when he said what he said, I cried because it hurt me, and I never really responded harshly. So I asked God to please deal with me and to help me as I go through this topic, to open my ears, to let me see my error. And basically what it is I've never truly forgiven my brother. I forgave him just with my words and in the surface of my heart. But in the depths of my heart, what he did and how he did it was very hurtful to me. So I haven't grown beyond that. So I ask God for forgiveness for myself, because we have to be able to forgive others so God can forgive them. We have to be able to forgive others despite the hurt as women and men and children of God, to be able to grow genuinely from our hearts. So I said, God, show me where I have went wrong. You know, I ask God for forgiveness because the things like this that we hold on to, unrecognizable hurt, can lead us to sin. It can allow us to hold grudges that we don't even know we're holding deep down. And we can lose our salvation because of this. We cannot move forward. We cannot grow because of what we carry inside for others, because if we are children of God, we are supposed to be genuine, we are supposed to be loving, we are supposed to be forgiven just as Christ has forgiven us. God forgives us all the time for things that are far worse than hurtful words. But we have to understand, how do we love beyond our hurts? How do we love when someone has offended us? What are we supposed to do? So the first scripture that I received comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21, and I'm going to read from the NLT, 21 to 25. And this is speaking about the parable of the unforgiven debt. Let me go to the Bible. It says here, Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? Jesus answered, no, not seven times. Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decides to bring his account up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Verse 25 says, he couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owed to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me, and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave him his debt. But when the man left the kingdom, he went to follow to a fellow servant who owed him a few dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor couldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid. You know, I just want to pause there for a second. You know, when I read this, you know, I was like, Lord, how does this relate? But as we read more down, it really opens up. You know, but right there when I saw that, I saw compassion that God, you know, it says the kingdom is like this. So this is how God deals with us. When we do something wrong, God is always willing and open as we ask God for forgiveness, as we ask God for pity, as we ask God to be compassionate, forgive us, help us. God opens door and he finds that joy. He finds that compassion in his heart to say you're forgiven. He finds it in his heart to say your debts are forgiven, your sins are forgiven. And he sets us on our way to continue on. But here it is, this individual, you know, had the same servant as someone that is, you know, in his same category, asked for forgiveness, and he roughed him up. He didn't forgive him, and he threw him in prison. So when I saw it, it's like, do unto others as you'll have them do to you. So when someone has offended us, it's not we are supposed to find that same compassion that Christ finds. We're supposed to treat them more joyful, not with the same hurt. We're not supposed to backlash with backlash. We're supposed to give love. We're supposed to show joy. You know, and in my situation, and I will use me as a visual person, you know, when that individual, my brother, did that hurtful stuff and said those hurtful words to me, I didn't, and I'll use my family to help showcase what God is speaking about. I didn't react to him in a negative way. Even though deep down in my belly I wanted to, I didn't, because I know as a child of Christ, of God, we are supposed to be different. But at the same time, learning to move beyond that hurt, I need God to help me, because I may have not acted it outwardly, but inwardly I still felt that bitter pain because I want to react. My brother did the same thing to my older sister, and what happened, she did the same to him. So they're at odds, and they're like completely not speaking. But God is showing us here that you have to deal with people in compassion. You have to have mercy on them, the same mercy that God shows us day in and day out. We have all sinned. We have all hurt people. We have all done things that we're not proud of, but every day God gives us mercy. Every day God forgives us. Every day God shows his love for us. So verse 31 says, when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. This right here lets me know that there's always someone watching us. As children of God, the way we react to others hurts. The way we react to people doing something bad to us, people are watching. And as children of God, we are supposed to carry ourselves and be Christ-like. We are supposed to do as Christ would do. And we know God based on this reading, based on the Bible. God is a God of compassion and of love. He always helps. He never hurts. He doesn't come to hurt us or harm us. Even giving his son to die for us shows how much love he carries for us. Verse 32 says, then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you plead with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Verse 35 says, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. And these are the word of Christ, because it's highlighted in red, so we know it came from him directly as being spoken. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. And that's where we are today. Loving beyond our hurts. How do you love or forgive someone who has hurt you? How do we forgive genuinely from our hearts? As humans, we're, you know, sometimes we say, oh, I forgive you, but it's a surface forgiving. It's not a deep down, because if that same individual come again and do something, we're ready to snap off. Even as children of God, follower of Christ, we have to work each day to stay on that path. We have to strive to be good. We have to strive and pray and ask God to be our strength. We have to open our hearts and our eyes for God to bring correction and show us where our errors are, because these things, when we are not truly loving someone from our heart, when we're not truly forgiving someone from our heart, these are things that are going to fester, and these are things that are going to keep us away from the kingdom. And like it says, the word says, they will be tortured. We don't want to be tortured. We don't want to fall short. And we go to heaven and we feel like we're doing everything right for people to see, but inwardly we're very filthy. Inwardly we're dirty. Inwardly there's things that are toxic that is in us that we need correction and need cleaning out. So as I said, when I received this word, God started showing me, yes, you love, yes, you care, but you know what? When it comes to your brother, there's still something holding you there, and I'm working on it, and I'm saying, God, every day, all this week, God, unravel me. God, peel me back. Let me see where that hurt came from. I know he hurt me, and I know his words and what he said, his actions hurt me, and the thing is, I genuinely feel hurt because my brother is also church. He's married to the pastor's daughter. You're someone who should carry yourself Christ-like. And that's something big we need to remember. We cannot deal with people the way they deal with us. We cannot judge and look at someone and say, oh, you're a Christian, so you're supposed to act this way and act in accordance with who we think they should be. When we are Christ-like, we are supposed to follow Christ. We are not supposed to follow, say we're followers of Christ, but deal with our brothers and sisters the way they deal with us. And when I say brothers and sisters, it's not just your biological blood brothers and sisters, but it's everyone, humans as a whole, our brothers and sisters out in the world, our brothers and sisters, the people that we come across in Christ and outside, because we have to treat each other the way we would want to be treated. We have to show love regardless if people shows us love. We have to be kind regardless if people are kind to us. It's not because you're treating me mean, I treat you mean, or because you're loving on me, I love on you. It has to be genuine. And whenever it's not genuine, guess what? The Holy Spirit will rattle our insides. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. And we listen because we're Christ's children. We're followers of him. So when we know the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and we are in tune to God and we truly belong to him and his kingdom, we open ourselves for correction and we say, God, forgive me and help me to be corrected. Amen? So let's keep moving. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 7, and I'm going to go to 15a. Colossians chapter 3, verses 7, and again from the NLT to verses 15a. It said, you used to do these things when your life, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now the time is to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. you used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. God has moved us and brought us from the steady life of this world, from whatever we may see in this worldly, this carnal life. God has brought us above it. God has brought us out and put us in Him as He is in us. He has brought us above and allowed us to live like Him. We have to move out and we have to get rid of these things. Every time I read a scripture, and I've shared this before, where God itemized things that we're supposed to get rid of, I pay keen attention to it. Or things that we're supposed to add, I pay keen attention. Because many times, you know, we're like, oh, I don't have anger. Oh, I don't have rage. You know, I don't have malicious behavior. But here we are, we're slandering people. Here we are, we're speaking vulgar. We have to be able to get rid of all of these things. It says here, verse 2, don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Don't lie to each other. Don't deceive yourself eagerly. We love each other. We grow beyond hurt when we can genuinely deal with the situation that is at hand and say, God, I completely give it to you. When we could turn over, and I've said it before, every hurt, every person that have hurt me, I give them to God. But we're saying it with our mouth. When we give something to God, we have to completely give it away and try to be better, try to be joyful, and try to have that openness. It says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. As we become more Christ-like, as we start embodying the characteristics of Christ, it's not going to be a one-time ordeal. It's a steady ordeal. As we start walking as Christians, Christ followers, as we start studying and obeying and adhering to God's will and the Holy Spirit that is leading in us, God will show us how to do better. God will show us how to heal. He will heal us. He will show us how to rise above hurt. He will show us how to rise above disappointment. He will get us past the hump that is before us. But we have to be able to strip ourselves completely. Take off the old self. Take off the carnal mind. Take off the mentality that, oh, you did me something wrong, so I'm going to snap off at you. I'm going to say something to you. I'm going to jump back in my old self and then jump back in Christ. We have to stop flip-flopping back and forth. We have to stay steady. And I say we because this is a journey that we are all on. This is a journey that if we slip, we don't want to fall short of the glory. We don't want to fall short of the kingdom. We don't want to fall short and not make it to heaven. We want to be able to continue to be steady and to win this race. We want to be able to cross over into the kingdom with our Father when that day comes. We want to be sure that our name is in the book. We want to be sure that Christ say that we have done good, that He is pleased with us. We want to hear all these things. So we have to be careful that we are completely stripping off what is not of God. We are stripping off all the lies. We are stripping off all the anger. We are stripping off rage, malice, you know, slander, everything that is not of God. We have to be dead to it. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. This was powerful. Christ is all that matters, and that He lives in all of us. God just showed us that He is there no matter what. He is always in us. He said it doesn't matter if we are Jews, Gentiles, circumcised, uncircumcised, if we're barbaric, if we're uncivilized, if we are a slave, or if we are free. He is there. And that's where the Holy Spirit lives. But guess what? To be able to be Christ-like, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to take over. The Holy Spirit needs to be in full control of our flesh. Our flesh has to be dead. Our self-thoughts, what we want in this carnal world has to be set aside completely. We have to choose the spirit of God that is within us and not the spirit of the enemy that tries to take over. The flesh have its own spirit, but the spirit of God is also within and it needs to be stronger. So God is saying, I am there. Whatever hurt we're going through, wherever sadness is, wherever depression is, wherever uncertainty is, God is there. So in order for us to continue on that path today, we're trying to deal with people hurting us and how do we rise above it. And like I've said it before, and I know we've all done it, when we are hurt to this point, it is never a stranger. It's someone closest to us. It's a family. It's a friend. It's a loved one. It's someone that we have a relationship with. And we have to be able to rise beyond that hurt so that the light of God, the personality, the characteristics of Christ can shine forth so that others that are watching us can see the love that we carry and choose to do better so that our children who are watching us can know, you know what, when people hurt me, I want to be like Christ. I want to carry that joy that mommy carries, and she carries it because God gives it to her. I don't want to be at odds. I don't want to be hiding. And that's how I feel when it comes to my brother. And how he came at me, I feel like I completely stay away. And I stay away because I'm looking at him and what my brother did. It makes it very hard, and I'm going to get down because there are scriptures concerning it. He shut that door of forgiveness. His words was, I don't want you to apologize to me. I'm not going to apologize to you. I just don't want to hear anything. So how is it that you unbreak or break through a barrier when someone doesn't want to hear an apology or don't want to give an apology? My answer to that is just go to Christ. Go to God and not just give him to God. Bring yourself onto God as well. It says here, let me continue. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Here it is in this chapter. God is telling you what you need to get rid of, but then at the end, he's telling you what you need to clothe yourself with. We need to clothe ourselves with tender-heartedness. We need to clothe ourselves with mercy. We need to clothe ourselves with kindness. We need to clothe ourselves with humility, gentleness, and patience. These are the things that will help us to rise above hurt. These are the things that will help us to rise above disappointment and sadness and everything else that brings our spirit down or tries to bring it down. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Here it is. The Bible tells us to forgive them. So for me, trying to forgive my brother and he's not wanting to receive it, it's very hard. So we have to just continuously go to God and forgive others. I say to God every single time, God, forgive me for what I have done and what I have not done. But at the same time, God, open my eyes to see, let me see where I am not forgiving someone, where I'm not forgiving myself, where I'm not able to do these things. Lord, give me the strength to do it. And God says, make allowance for them from others' faults. Forgive them for their faults. Ask God to forgive them for where they have hurt us, where they have done wrong, and forgive anyone who have offended us. Remember, the Lord forgives you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love. God is love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. That is the big key. We cannot succeed in forgiving others, one, if we do not have the love of Christ. If we do not have that peace of Christ in our heart for that individual or for that situation, every situation that we go through has its own level of forgiveness, have its own level of grace. We cannot put everyone in the same box There's some people where we're able to forgive and it's so easy. And then there's some people where forgiveness is a daily walk. It's a struggle. It's a striving that we have to do. But we can only be successful, one, if we depend on God. Dependent on God is not just dependent on him for our daily needs. It's also dependent on him in our daily walk. Our daily walk to remain Christ-like. Our daily walk on this journey that we have to make it to heaven. A daily walk in every circumstances, no matter what it is, we have to depend on Christ. We have to, like it says, above all, clothe yourself with love. When I see the word love in the Bible, I get excited because love is God. The Bible says love is the greatest, and God is love. Love is God. So when I see love, I'm like, okay, Lord, you are there. Clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together. God is the one that holds us together. Perfect harmony in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in our hearts. Christ's peace surpasses all understanding. Christ's peace covers so much. And it needs to rule not only in our hearts but in our minds. And in order for us to be in that perfect harmony, we have to allow God to resonate. We have to allow God to be center and forefront. We have to allow God to lead us. That love of Christ, that love that doesn't judge, that love that has no grudges, that love that doesn't, you know, slander, we have to allow his love to go forth. Love that shows us mercy every single day. It is only God. It's only God that can help us to say, you know what, Lord, I forgive that individual. You know what, Lord, I forgive you. You know what, Lord, even if he refused to hear, I forgive you, or to address the situation, I will allow my actions. There's time. It's not words that you say, but it's our actions. It's our action in showing someone that you forgave them. It's our action that allow people to know that we love them. It's not just saying, oh, I love you, or oh, I forgive you. Christ himself showed us his love through action. He made a choice to come and die. God could have just said, snap his finger and it was done, and you're all said, yes, I forgive you, and we're at peace. But he wanted us to understand loving someone requires action. Forgiving someone also requires action. And our Father is a God of action. He is a Father of action. He gave his son. Jesus Christ came here and chose to go through every struggle for us. He went to the cross and suffered. Through his action, we understand the love that he carries for us, what encounter, what pain he endured. We all don't know the pain he endured, but we can think, we could envision the amount of pain because we've all got cut, we've all hurt ourselves sometimes, so we know what pain feels like. But imagine on the cross until you die, suffering, being beaten, all this, because you want us to know that you love us and you want to be able to forgive us our sin, to take it away. That's genuine love. That's from the heart. Amen? So Luke chapter 17, verses 3 to 4 says, moving forward, Luke chapter 17, verses 3 to 4 says, Jesus is speaking about forgiveness and faith in this whole chapter as a whole. The entire chapter is powerful, and he teaches us so much. But these two verses stood out to me as God spoke directly to my heart, or like I said, to my hurt. It says in Luke 17, verses 3, it starts off and it says, so watch yourself. If anyone believes sin, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive. Each time that person wrongs you, 7 times a day, each time, we have to forgive and ask for forgiveness. Many times we are, especially when it comes to family, we're hurt after hurt after hurt. When someone has done us wrong, even our children, they do stuff to hurt us, we have to forgive them, but we also have to forgive ourselves. In order to go grow and remain in Christ, we have to say, you know what, I forgive you, but not just by words, not just by mouth. When we love and when we forgive, like I said, it requires an action. It requires me saying, you know what, I forgive you. And with my family member, my brother, it is very hard to say I forgive you when you won't speak about what you've done. And maybe he's struggling in his own ways of everything that's happening. You know, but at the same time, I have to, as a child of Christ, create an even and open door where I can show my brother, I can show my family, I can show my loved ones, I can show all of them the Christ that we serve, that we are able to forgive, we are able to let go, we're able to move on positively. There's so many things that is going on in this world. There's so many people that are hurting. There's so many people, I've talked to many people who cannot go, who cannot have a functioning adult life because they've been hurt when they were kids. But guess what? We have to allow God to come in and heal, and we have to completely let go of these hurts. We have to let go of our family that has made us feel less than. We have to let go of our brothers. We have to let go of our sisters. We have to let go not of the individual themselves, but of the hurt. We have to allow God to remove it from out of us and bring healing. Sometimes, and like myself, I let go of that situation, the hurt, which I thought I did, and I gave it over to Christ, but I didn't allow God to come in and heal. I just shut that door. It's like I kicked them out and closed my door, and that's it. No one was in there but me. But that remnant, that residue, that pain is still in there with me, and it's eating me up. So only God can unravel us. Only God can come in and clean up that area, clean our hearts, clean our minds, clean it completely, that we can now allow the individual to be a part of us without bringing up what hurt had occurred. Only God can do it. Only God can genuinely and completely fill us and remove toxins that is within us and residue that remains from past hurts, hurts from husbands, hurts from wife, hurt from church, church hurt, all these things. Otherwise, that what is in us, that bitterness, it can overpower and it can overtake us. It can start, you know, fermenting and becoming something that we didn't even expect it to be and lay there, an undertone, not even knowing that it's there. And I believe that's where I am. I believe that's where God has touched me this week and say, remember, this is what's happening. You know, and there's things that will trigger it. And this week I became triggered, or last week I became triggered, and God dealt with it immediately. And I thank him. When God comes and he brings correction, it's not to combat God and say, well, he did this, Lord. And no, it's to say, God, you are right. Forgive me and help me to rise above. Help me to have full and true healing so that I can let go of these hurts, so that we can let go of the hurts. We can let go of the bitterness. We can let go and grow deeper in God. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 30 to 32, and I'm just going to remain in the NLT today. Verses 4 in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32, it says, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, here's that word again, forgiving one another just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. How powerful. These few verses sum up everything. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. How do we love beyond our hurts? How do we forgive those that have hurt us? We do it by allowing God to reign forth, by living a life that is pleasing to God, by choosing and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Allow our life, what we do each day, day in and day out, to be a life that is pleasing, that is joyful, that is loving, that our actions, the way you live, depicts action. The life that we're living, we're alive because we're action people. We're not dead. When you're dead, you're lifeless. But if you're alive, everything that is alive requires some form of action. We're moving, movement, something is happening. So by the way we live, by the way we talk, by the way we act, by the way we interact, by the way we speak, by the way we, whatever we are doing, we're living according to the Holy Spirit, according to God's Spirit, and we're not bringing sorrow, we're not bringing pain, we're bringing joy. Remember, He has identified us, it says you, but I'm going to say us, as His own, guaranteeing us that we will be saved on the day of redemption. So the Bible is saying to get rid of all bitterness. How do we love beyond our hurts? We get rid of bitterness. How do we love beyond our hurts? We get rid of rage. How do we love beyond our hurts? We get rid of anger. How do we love someone that has harmed us? We get rid of harsh words. How do we love beyond our hurts? We get rid of slander, as well as any type of evil behavior, evil action. When we see someone coming that has hurt us, instead of saying hello to them, we make a U-turn to not say hello. Instead of going to their house, we make plans to go to their house and just meet with their wife and not their your brother. That's what I've done. I refuse to put myself in the same room with my brother. I don't have a relationship with my brother as a whole. He's my brother. I love my brother from day one, but my brother and I, we've never vibed. He said that we ruined his life. He was the oldest, and he said that we ruined his life. I don't know why, because the one that took care of us even when we were younger was my older sister. When my mom was working, it was always my sister. It's always the female that is left to be the mother to the younger children. It's never the male, the brother. But it is the woman. But at the same time, what I do is set up meetings to go. My niece's birthday is coming up on the 27th, and they're planning to have a birthday party. My sister-in-law, praise God, is pregnant again. So they're on their third child, and, you know, I am trying my best to just stay neutral. But at the same time, that's not a part of my character. I always want to help. I always want to be involved and something like that. But my brother told me to stop being Mrs. Fix-It, basically stop helping and stop being. So how do I grow? Lord, how do I forgive of being myself genuinely? How do we, something that we love to do, something that we love to carry forward in who we are as an individual, when someone smutter it, we have to go to God. But my encouragement is to still be you. Still allow that love of God to go forth. The enemy will try to come in and snuff out our lights. The enemy will try to use people who are close to us to bring us down. We have to still rise above those hurts and say, I will love with the love of God. I'm going to treat you the way God said we are supposed to treat each other. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to be kind. I won't carry around rage. I won't speak slander. I won't do anything that will bring harm or negative views to the Lord. I will choose to rise. I will choose to be kind-hearted. I will choose to be forgiven. I will choose to love just as God has loved. I will choose to forgive just as God has forgiven me. God forgave us through Christ. What on the cross, what God allowed to happen on the cross is the biggest forgiveness that we will ever witness, and we're currently living because of that. So if God could allow this to happen, he could help us through our small struggles. Let's continue and let's turn to Proverbs chapter 10, verses 11 to 12. It says, the words of the Lord, sorry, let me just make sure, amen. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 11 to 12. It says, the words of the godly are a life-given fountain. The words of wicked conceal violent intention. When I read this, all I could hear is intentions of your heart, your true heart. When we truly and genuinely love someone, when we truly and genuinely forgive someone, it needs to be from the intent of our heart. It needs to be something that is deep down, not just a surface forgiveness. Not just a surface love. And, you know, in this study that God gave me, I see love and I see forgiveness. We cannot forgive if we don't love. And we can love someone because we have forgiven them. So they go hand in hand. In order to rise above these pain, these hurt, these sadness, these disappointments, we have to allow love to reign. We have to allow God to be in the middle of it. It says the word of the godly are life-giving fountain. It's a life-giving fountain. When we give people encouraging word, when we choose to be positive, when we choose to forgive, when we choose to do stuff, that it brings joy to someone. It changes their view. It makes others see God in us. But it says here the word of the wicked conceals violent intention. When we are saying nasty, slanderous words, it's negativity inside of us that we're spilling out. It's the intention of our heart for the situation, for the individual, that we're able to splatter out there. It shouldn't be. Even when you're dealing with your husbands and wife and you're in arguments, be careful to not say negative words. Be careful not to say hurtful words. And these are things that we are working on daily. These are things that we all go through and might still go through, and we're asking God to help us. God is the only one that can bring true healing, and he is the only one that can keep us. It's not just to bring the healing or to bring the help, but it's to keep us on our daily walk. We cannot walk before God. We cannot walk before him. We need to walk with him, or we need to follow along behind him, not run before God, because if that happens, we will always stumble. We will always be in a place of hurt. We will always be in a place of sadness, because what? He's not there to block. He's not there to deflect. He's not there to instruct us. So therefore, he has to come in and clean us up. He has to pick us up. He has to cleanse us and set us back on the path. Allow our words, life-giving, to be a fountain of life, to be a fountain of love, to be a fountain of joy, to be a fountain of peace. Amen? Hatred stirs up quarrel, but love makes up for all offenses. How do we forgive someone that has hurt us? We need to allow the love of Christ. We need to allow the love that only God can give. We need to allow that love to come forth. But we need that love internally first to heal us. We cannot forgive. We cannot love beyond hurt of others when people have hurt us if we don't carry that love. If God did not heal us from the depth of our hearts, from the spirit inside of us, we will constantly be in a cycle where we're saying in our mind or in the surface of our hearts that we forgave that person, but deep down in our belly, in our spirits, you could feel it brewing. And that's where I was. I love my brother. When I say I love my brother, I feel it in the spirit of my belly. I do. But when I think of what he has done or me going there or me putting myself back in that environment or even giving a hug, I have to take a deep breath. And that's where God opened up to me and said, if that was the case, you wouldn't have to pause. It would be free-flowing. It would come out naturally, organically. It wouldn't be forced. And that is a place as Christians we are not supposed to be, because this will stop us from entering into the kingdom of heaven. This will stop us and set us back. We know it. If whenever we're thinking of any situation, people have hurt us and we're still breathing, it's because that healing has not fully come. That removal of that seed, that negative seed or that root has not been uprooted. So we need God. We need his love. We need his healing. We need his forgiveness to forgive us of what we didn't let go of. And the enemy will make it seem like we have let go of everything because we pushed that person out. But all we did was push them out of the house. All we did was push them out of the door and close it. But we're still in there battling the hurt that is inside of us, battling the wrong that was done to us, not knowing its surface, but deep down in our belly, if we really sit by ourselves and start thinking about it, it's going to, that fury, that bitterness, that heat will start bubbling up. And that's when we can realize that we're not healed. Because I went and revisit that hurt. But when I revisit that hurt, I get angry all over again, or I get upset or frustrated all over again. That means the Lord has not dealt with it. And then we want to grow, and we want that door and those chapters to completely be resolved. We have to allow God to come in fully. We have to allow ourselves to be so open to the Lord that we're hiding nothing. And when we can't hide anything from God, we know that. So when we feel like we're hiding it, it's not hiding it from God, it's burying it from ourselves. We're choosing to hide it from ourselves, but God, because he loves us, and he wants us to succeed, he will tap on it like he did with me on Monday. I was in tears, crying, because I was like, Lord, how did I allow this to happen? And I realized I didn't allow him to remove it. We can't remove something and say it's done. God has to be the one to remove hurt, sadness, pain, chaos, whatever is going on in your life. God has to be the one to go in and remove it, because when he removes it, he replaces it with peace. He replaces it with love. He replaces it with things that will help us to be vibrant, to be jubilant, to be blessed. Not something that will keep rattling us in our sleep. Hatred stirs up quarrel, but love makes up for all offenses. As I come to my closing verse, I want us to go to the next chapter, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. We are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. And again, wherever I see love, I put God. Wherever I see God, I put love, because God is love. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and and offered himself as a sacrifice. Sorry, I couldn't read my own writing. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. When we live as Christ lives, when we allow the characteristics of Christ to lead us and to embody us and to move with us and go before us and take us where we need to go, it will be a pleasing aroma to God. God will be pleased. So live a life filled with love, filled with the love of God. How do we rise above hurt? We allow that love that only God can give to help us. When we see someone coming that has offended us, and mainly when we are offended, when we are hurt, that we can't, again, we can't get rid of it, it's normally people who are closest to us. But when we know genuinely from the trueness of our hearts deep down that we have forgiven, that we have moved on, is when we see that individual, it brings joy. It doesn't put in our mind, I need to be careful of this one. There he comes again. There she comes again. Like, let me put my shield on, Jesus, because I don't want them to get. No, we are protected and we are shielded. God has covered us completely. God has removed everything, and we allow God to be the center for. So when that individual, anyone comes with their nonsense or foolery again, guess what? It will not shake us because God put something there that is stronger. He put love so that when we see this hurt coming again, we are able to deflect it and be like, you know what? I'm not even going to allow it to come penetrate my heart or go inward because the shield of the Lord has me covered. Therefore, it will not come near me. So when people speak things, negative things to you, it doesn't even penetrate. It doesn't come in your ear because your ear is immune to it. So it boxes it out. Imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, and live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. How many times in the Word have we read that Jesus Christ went through so many naysayers, so many hurts, but yet in the Bible, he never acted out of character. He never did anything wrong. He slipped out of the crowd, he walked silently, or he responded with love and care, something that will make someone think, like, why do you have to act like this? This is not how I want to be. Let's just be peaceful. Let's just be loving. God shows us day in and day out how we're supposed to speak, how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to view things. But this journey that we're on, the Lord also tells us we will have trials, and we will have tribulations. There will be temptations. We will have all sorts of stuff that comes from us. But God advises us to keep moving, keep standing firm, keep going forth, keep striving to live a life that is pleasing, so that God can say, "Well done, my faithful servant." So that God can look at us and say, yes, that's my child, the one who obeys, the one who follows, the one who listens, the one who is patient, the one who is kind-hearted, the one who is tender. Wherever there is bitterness, wherever there is rage, wherever there is slander, wherever there is harsh words, wherever there is evil behaviors, wherever there is malice, wherever there is dirty language, wherever there is anything that is not of God, we have to get rid of it. We have to ask God to take it out and uproot it. So today, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we are praying collectively, we are praying individually for every problem, every situation that we are facing as children of God, that we are facing as men, that we are facing as women, that we are facing as servants, that we are facing as co-workers, as wives, as husbands. Father God, children, wherever we are struggling, dear Lord, with the things of this world that is not of you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we are praying that you will come in, dear Lord, and uproot it, that you will come in, dear Lord, and box it out. Even when we're on our job, dear Lord, teach us to be humble. When we are dealing with people who are outside of passage, teach us to show them love. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we ask you, dear Lord, to be the centerfold, to be the shield, to be the protector for us, dear Lord, that we will live a life that is pleasing to you. We will live a life that is Christ-like in the mighty name of Jesus. We will live a life that is filled with love, that is filled with the peace of Christ, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, wherever there is hurt, dear Lord, I bring ourselves, I bring our situation in the mighty name of Jesus to you. Wherever we are in this world, wherever we are struggling as children of God, dear Lord, we're asking you to take full control of our life. Unravel us in the mighty name of Jesus. Remove every stone of hardness, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Remove every bitterness. Remove anything that is inside of us, dear Lord, again, that is not of you, so that we can be free. So that we can be free to love, that we can be free to be kind, that we can be free and walk in our actions, dear Lord, to be forgiven in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, that we will see things the way you see it in the mighty name of Jesus, and we will accept your will, dear Lord, for the life that you have given us in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for healing upon everyone on this line, dear Lord. Healing in the body, healing in the spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. For those that will hear this call, healing, dear Lord, healing in their hearts, healing in their minds, healing in their bodies. Father God, I pray for healing for things that has occurred years when we were children, dear Lord. I ask you, dear Lord, to unravel and uproot those stones that will not hold us back, that it will not stop us from achieving the kingdom of God, from making it into heaven in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, I pray for peace in our homes, peace in our lives, peace between family members, peace between husbands and wives, peace between children, peace between grandparents and grandfathers and grandmothers in the mighty name of Jesus, peace between aunts and uncles in the mighty name of Jesus, peace between co-workers in the mighty name of Jesus, peace, dear Lord, in every area of our life, no matter where we go, in the mighty name of Jesus. I am praying that you will take over. I am praying that you will pour into us right this minute in the mighty name of Jesus and help us to stand. Help us to go forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Continue to keep our eyes, our spiritual eyes open, our spiritual ears open. Continue, Father God, to carve our tongues that we will not speak slander, that we will not speak negative words in the mighty name of Jesus, but our words will be uplifted. Our words will be filled with life, a fountain of love, a fountain of joy, a fountain of peace, a fountain of encouragement, a fountain of upbuilding in the mighty name of Jesus. Merciful Father, we look to you. We look to you for all situation, the author and finisher of our faith. We look to you, Father God, to take us into the next level of this world in the mighty name of Jesus, into the next level of the spiritual world in the mighty name of Jesus, that we will continue to be your servants in the mighty name of Jesus, and we will continue to do your will. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Apostle?
I'm out here in the field, so working on this air condition, but I just want to thank you for the word. What a powerful, anointed word. And you have spoken to everybody. You've spoken to me. You know, I can tell that forgiveness thing is it's a record. I read Jesus spoke so much of it,
yeah.
You know. That's one of the things that really was on the heart of the Lord, you know. He spoke of that so much, so much. So, you know, it means something. And it's something that the devil used against us. He really said, well,
amen.
I'm going to forgive you, but I ain't going to forget what you did to me. You know, we'll go like that. And we think
yep.
that we forgive somebody. But you got to get right inside there. You got to get in there. And you got to deal with that thing. Because that thing becomes a cancer. You know,
hell
it
yeah.
becomes a cancer. And don't care where you want to go. It stays before you. You know, it stays in your vision. You know, so I just want to tell you that. That's God is speaking to you because when God sticks you like that, he wants to take you to another dimension. But that unforgiveness in your spirit, where you say, well, I forgive, but you really ain't forgive. You know, your mouth says you forgive, but do your heart say? Is the problem is your heart. Your heart is not forgiving. You see? And this thing got to come from the heart. You know, Jesus showed us when he was on the cross. He showed us an example of forgiveness, what it's like. You understand? You're looking at people that just pierce you and slap you and call you all kinds of names that not in the book. You know, did every kind of thing to you. You were on the cross. You got the power to kill them. You got the power to terminate them. You got the power because you're God. And what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done.
Amen.
He got the power. I mean, he got the power. And we be dealing with little simple stuff with my wife say this or my husband say this, and I know why he think he can talk to me this way, why she thinks he can talk to me that way. And you know what God would do with you? God would jam you up. Because God holds you as the one that know better.
Yeah.
This is how he holds up, as the one that knows better, because why? We are saved, we are sanctified. And you talked about it, we got his love.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I don't want to, his love allowed me to forgive.
Yeah.
Even if I don't want to, you see? His love allowed me to do that. You see what I'm saying? So that's what we draw from. When somebody has offended us, even, and you know, the great offense that you can get in culture comes from a family member or a friend.
Yeah.
You hear me? The greatest offense you can get that will hurt you to your core comes from your family member or a friend. I wouldn't like to. And most of us on this line right now, there's a lot of people on the line, you can testify of that. I ain't telling you no lie. I ain't telling you no lie. Because guess what? Your enemy, my enemy, stays on the other side. They don't come up on this side. They stay on the other side. Why? Because they say, well, I don't care for him too much. I don't care for her too much. They stay on the other side. But your friend is right there in your house. In your house. Drinking your coffee. You hear what I'm saying? Drinking your coffee. And I was watching a show the other night, and a man was charged with murder. He was charged with murder, murdering his wife. And what happened is he has two other wives before, and they all got murdered. His father got murdered. But they claim that he has murdered his father, and that he has paid to murder his wife. But he didn't do that. His wife's friend was dating her ex-husband, but she wanted to leave her husband to go back with her ex-husband. And her girlfriend told her, God, but where are you going to go back with him? You got a better man, you know? Because what was happening? She was dating the ex-husband. And she took a nail gun, went over to her friend, claiming that she was just going to talk to her. She went over to the friend, to this guy's wife's house, while the guy was somewhere else. And he tell the woman, her friend, that's a girlfriend. Why are you gonna wanna go back, leave your husband if you seem to be doing all right with him, and go back with the old husband when you and him couldn't get along? Because she did in the old husband. When she got the nail gun in her hand, nobody can see her, okay? What she did, she shoot the woman, shoot her girlfriend. They're best buddies. They went to college together. This is what I'm telling you. You push this thing. Oh, that was so powerful. They went to college together. You hear me? She shoot her girlfriend with the nail gun and kill her. You hear me? And she sneak up the house where nobody see her. So nobody thought that because they were so close. Listen to me. They were so close. This message is a powerful message. They were so close that nobody suspected her for killing her.
Mm-mm.
Well, the detective said there's got to be more to this story. And the detective was saying, well, this man is my friend. I know him from college. And I won't believe that he's a murderer. Well, he didn't murder this wife. But he had his father killed. And being the detective was searching to clear him from one case, he caught the second case. You see, the people close to you. His father was a multi-billionaire, and he wanted his father money. He couldn't kill his father, but he used another person from his college who liked to break into people's home and steal people's stuff. He used this fella to kill his father. You hear what I'm saying? So your message is powerful, a message that everybody needs to listen to. It's real. It's nothing new. It's nothing new on the sun. This is a new message that needs to revive. Everybody needs to hear that because people get so carried away. I was just saying to my wife the other night, I said, look, I hope that my son, now he's back at his job, his company that he worked for before, was locked up. They like his work, and they like his attitude, and they kept his job. Going back to
that.
So I was telling my wife because I had this weird dream of all these people locked up. And I said, well, I hope that Benjamin, because his wife, she's a producer for some show where they look at rebuilding homes, remodeling homes and stuff like that. She's a producer.
Mm-hmm.
She's making good money. And she wants to buy a home for her family, you know. And he making good money, too. But I told her, I said, it just came to my mind. I told my wife, I said, well, I hope Benjamin don't get caught up with his old friends again, you know. Because, you know, it's them old friends that going to get you back in trouble. Because they ain't changed. They're still doing the same thing, you know. So I really got to get into a little bit more when I get home. But I'm trying to get it
we have to like,
here because my truck, my air condition was down this morning, my truck, so I had to get that up. It's so cool in there now. You got to wear a jacket, you know. But so I said, I get out here. It's been hot now, and I want to get this thing here done, get the people. They got little children in this house, so I want to get the AC on for them. And the man come back home. So go ahead, Minister.
I just wanted to ask you, you know, some of the words, you know, that was powerful what you shared just now, Apostle. And thank you. You know, in some of the words, the scripture was saying that, you know, when God changes us, he completely changed us. We're supposed to put off our old self. And, you know, you're talking about Benjamin coming back. You know, there are people who you don't even know is your enemy, but just because you have changed and you choose to do better, the enemy will keep coming and he will not stop. But you know what? As long as we stay with God and stay with our minds clean and focused on God, he will help us through. But I tell you, God really dealt with me with this. I was like, Lord, no. You know, how, you know, like as he's talking to me on Monday night, this was like 3 a.m. And I'm like, Lord, I'm trying to write. I thought this was the topic. And he said, no, we're going to deal with this. And my question to him was, how do I love beyond my heart? And he said, that's your topic. That's what I want you to go and research. That's what I want you to understand. And I'm like, you know, as I'm doing it, I'm like crying. I'm like, Lord, just help me. Because like you said, this is something that we all know. But sometimes we need a refresher. And I thank God for this refresher.
Right.
And I ask God to just help me to stay on this focused path and use all that he gave me today to help me to grow beyond and forgive genuinely from the depth of my heart. But I thank God for you, Apostle, and I thank God for his words.
I thank you for it, because I needed to hear that too myself. You know, I needed to hear that. I'm going to go back on mute. There's a lot of people on the line. I think Apostle Washington is on the line too, and Apostle Stewart, Deacon Fraser, people on the line, so I'm going to put my phone on mute.
Okay. The line is open to anyone that would like to add to the word or would like to have a comment or share a testimony. Whatever it is that the Lord is putting on your heart to do, you can do so at this time. Amen.
Good afternoon to everyone.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Yes, God bless everyone today. And he blesses us every day. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank God for the message, Ms. Sandera. I heard most of it. And we thank God for it. We, you know, when you think about unforgiveness, many people are walking around with unforgiveness in their hearts, and they don't realize it. They don't realize it. They haven't detected that I have this unforgiveness in my heart. It doesn't really come across as unforgiveness. It can be really tricky because we know we love people. We know we love our family. And so therefore, that thing, that unforgiveness can be there. And as I said, it's undetected because we know we love, because we know we're following Christ, you know, and it just can just be there and we don't know it. But there are ways, and you brought out some of those ways, of realizing that something is wrong. Something is truly wrong. And I'm glad you, the Holy Spirit allowed you to bring this message, because so many people are walking around with it and they don't understand it. And one of the main ways to detect it is when we continue to talk about it, when we continue to talk about what happened and what that person did to us or the experience that we've had, and we continue to talk about it, talk about what they did to us, how they misused or lied on us or whatever it is that's going on. What I love mostly about this message is, number one, it's about unforgiveness. And, excuse me. I'm doing a comment. Yes. Bishop fell asleep there. So what happens is, it happened to me. That's, you know, I'm talking from experience too. And I love the fact, the number two thing is I love the fact that you ministered from your experience. And that is so key when we preach, when we teach. When we teach from our experiences, it's so much more powerful because we're transparent. We can say we made a mistake. We can say, I had to ask the Lord to help me. And we're not feeling like we're so above everything. Only God is above everything. Only God is above everybody. Amen? So that's what's so powerful, when we can minister from those experiences, because it's real. Like Apostle said, it's real. It's very, very real.
Amen.
And we all need this message. Everybody, we're not above our humanness. It's impossible to be above our humanness. But God understands our humanness. Amen. We are above only and not beneath, but we need the Lord to keep us lifted up, to keep us lifted up, and know that we can depend on him to help us with everything that's going on, whether we're dealing with pain, grief. Some people are very angry because they're grieving, because something horrible happened and they're grieving, and the anger is there. And a lot of times the anger is there even towards God, even towards God. How can you let this happen to me? Why me, God? Why did you take this from me? Why did you take this person from me? Or whatever. It's so many reasons. We even have that unforgiveness and get angry with God. We get angry with God. And how could you do this? So therefore, the pain and the hurt stays there. But when we humble ourselves, under God's hand, he said, I'll lift you up in due time.
Amen.
Give it to him like you did. But he had to bring it to you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And you made that very clear. He's the one that will lead us and guide us in all truth. Only the Holy Spirit. And then you brought out that we grieve
mm-hmm.
our Holy Spirit. We will grieve our Holy Spirit. And God doesn't want us to stay in that hurt, stay in that pain, because what it does is that it hinders our walk with God. It hinders that. And God wants us to know, okay, you got to take care of this. You got to do this because it can keep us from one day spending the rest of eternity with Jesus Christ. Because he said, if we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven. And you brought all of that out in the sermon.
Mm-hmm.
But I love, love, love that most of the time when you minister from your experience. You talk about the things that Jesus taught us. Amen? And that's where we need to be. What did Jesus say? What would Jesus do? What he has already done on the cross can cause us to overcome anything. We've been made overcomers
Amen.
In Jesus Christ. We can overcome. We're a conqueror. We're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And so, therefore, he has to bring it to the forefront. He'll bring it to us, and he'll let us know you got something in your heart that needs to be taken care of. It's a heart issue. Mostly everything that we go through is about a heart issue, you know, and it's very,
Amen.
Very very, very tricky, and the enemy is tricky because, oh, I can be kind. I can say hello. I can say hello. I can say how you doing. I can say it's been a long time since we talked, or it's been a long time. And you can, even around your brother, it's hard, but you can remember deep down in your heart, you do love your brother. You know you love your brother, but the things that he does hurt you, and I've been there so much with family hurt, so much with church hurt. I've been there, and I know. And it was one thing in particular that happened with my family, and I shared it with the apostle, and I'm not going to go through the whole nine yards, but I shared it with the apostle, and I know I grieved my Holy Spirit. And what hurt me so bad, more than anything, more than the hurt that they caused, I know I grieve the Holy Spirit because of the way I handled the situation. And I cried like a baby because I grieved my Holy Spirit. That's what had me so even more hurt, because I knew I grieved him. Okay? So I can relate. I can relate. And I always say on this line, it's so good when we can share our testimonies and share how God helped us get through something, because this is what people need to hear. We're not above all that. We're human. And God says, I know that you are pitiful. He says it in the book of Psalms. I know that you are pitiful. I have pity on you because I know that you're only human. I know you're made of dust. You're only made of dust. And thank God that he gives us time. He gives us guidance. You know, he works. He helps us to work it out by bringing it to the forefront, bringing it
Amen.
To us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. How can we grow if we continue to stay in a certain place that we need to move out of? You know, and you talk about growing. Now you know the Lord brought it to you in such a way that it has to be dealt with. It has to be dealt with. And so my experience, I've had so much experience. And, you know, I was so angry And like I said, I acted in a way that wasn't pleasing to God. And so we don't want to grieve our Holy Spirit, but there from time to time, I believe everybody has done it. I believe we all have done it because we fall short of God. But many people will not admit. Many people will not come with a testimony like you just did because they don't want people to know that, you know, I fell too. I fell too. I did something wrong too. You see, many people, because they've gotten so far, they think in their walk that this is not me. This is not me. I'm above all that. I'm above all that. We are above only and not beneath because Jesus says that we can rise above. We're above only because of what Jesus did, because he hung on the cross. And you mentioned that too. You talked about Jesus and the forgiveness of sins and how he forgave us. You know, Minister Undera and everyone, I believe if we all can just put ourselves there mentally and look at the cross and look at the stations that Jesus did before he even got to the cross, and how when he had to minister, he ministered to people even though he was ridiculed and rejected, disrespected, you know, and all the hurt that he had to go through before he even went to the cross. But it all happened because it's going to happen with us. It all happened. You know, some people will say, well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person because you didn't murder somebody. I'm a good person. I don't steal. I'm a good person. You know, I don't curse. I don't smoke. I don't drink. And, you know, a lot of people feel like, I didn't do any of that stuff. But what about what you do? What about what you have done? What about, can we go back and look at what we did? Can we ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me whatever it is that is in me or something that I'm doing that is not like you. Please bring it to me. Show me, God, because I want to please you. I want to live for you, and I do want to walk holy. Amen. I want to walk holy. Amen. I want to make it. I want to make it to paradise. I want to make it, Lord. And more so because I know you love me, Lord, and I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to hurt my Lord. So if we could just put ourselves there and see him hanging on that cross, see him being beat, see all of the things, just look. Just close our eyes when we read these scriptures and try to put yourself there. No, we weren't there when our Savior was crucified. We weren't there when he died. We weren't there. But one thing we know, as we have faith and believe, that we know he was there. He was there, and he died for everything that we could ever do in this life, everything that we could feel. The Holy Spirit, our holy God, felt it, was there, fell. He fell. Sin caused him to fall. Amen. Not that he was sin, but he was made, the sin was put on him. Amen. And caused him to fall. Why? Because we fall down. We do fall. I don't care how long you've been in ministry. It doesn't matter how many years. It doesn't matter. We all fall from time to time. When I say fall, we make mistakes. We do things and we don't think it's no big deal. It's no big deal because I'm not a homosexual. No, I'm not a fornicator. I'm not a liar. I didn't do these things. But what about stuff like unforgiveness? What about those things? And this is huge. We got to forgive unless we won't be forgiven. And if we hate our brothers or our sisters, the Lord says in his word, it's just like committing murder. So if you say, I never murdered nobody, if you hate a brother or hate a sister or you remain angry and you can't forgive them, it's just like you murdered. That's what Jesus said. It's just like murder. Or if you was once a liar, but you never murdered anybody, but you stole something, or you told an untruth. That's another thing. People will lie and don't think they're lying. It's the truth. They'll lie and don't think they're lying. It won't tell the whole truth. That's still a lie. The whole truth is the truth. You got to tell the whole thing. And people will hold back certain things because you don't want to look bad. You don't want to make people think that you're vulnerable, like all of us human. Our humanness makes us vulnerable. Vulnerable to the tricks of the enemy. So we have to be aware. This message brings awareness to the unforgiveness, because a lot of people are walking around with it and they hate people and don't even realize that it's hate. They don't realize that you're hurting other people because you got this hurt in your heart, and you walk. It could be hurt from when you were a child. A lot of stuff we deal with is, you know, because we got hurt as we were children. And we've been walking around with it all our lives, you know, and it's hindering our growth. It's hindering us from getting to where God wants us to be. Amen? So God will be
mm-hmm.
God. And I, like I say, I've been through it, all kind of hurt from a child. But God helps us to work through it. And now I know. Bishop had to tell me one time after I had this terrible fight with my family. And almost every day, I was talking about it. Now, I didn't feel angry anymore, but I was talking about it. It was coming out. And Bishop said to me, "Honey, please stop talking about it. Leave it alone." Because what he was doing was, he was constantly, that the hurt was constantly coming, you know, I'm still hurt, and there had to be some unforgiveness, but it was hidden because I love my family. I love my friends. And so that part was like, there's no way that I got some unforgiveness going on. No way, because I know I'm not feeling angry, but if we keep talking about it, if we feel uncomfortable around the people after they've done what they did, there's some unforgiveness there. There's some hurt there because of unforgiveness. We haven't totally worked it out in our hearts. So thank God for this message. It hit home with me because I know I've been there. And we got to be transparent. We've got to know that when we minister these things, it's helping somebody else. We don't want to make people feel like, well, I got it all together all the time. Never been there, never did that. That's not helping other people. You know, we got to show that we are our humanness, our times when we didn't have it all together. You see, because they got people, they're so deep into ministry. They think they're so deep. That's not me. That's not me. I don't do stuff like that. I don't do that. But there's so many things that we do. Minister Andera, and I know you know it, there's so many things we say and we do. And sometimes we can't even tell the whole truth about stuff. But then we'll say, we're not a liar. I don't lie. But if you left some details out of something and you didn't tell the whole
truth,
right. It's a lie. It's not the truth. The truth is pure. And only the truth will make us free. When we realize that something is not right and we allow the Holy Spirit to work on us, we say, God, I didn't realize that. Thank you, God. He said if you just humble yourself, listen. I said the other day in the message, God still speaks. He said, my sheep hear my voice. What is that saying? He's speaking to us. He
Amen.
Will speak to us because he don't want us to lose out on what he's already prepared for us on the other side of this world. Amen? He wants us to get there. He died so we would get there. so that our sins would be forgiven. So what makes us think that we could just go around saying things, talking about people? That's another thing, talking about people, talking behind people's back, talking people's business, all of these things. We don't think there's anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's my friend, so I can do that. That's my family member, so I can do that. No. And another thing that I want to bring out is that we and you probably brought it out, that we assume so much. We assume a whole lot of things, and that's wrong too. We'll be talking about things, and we accuse people of things that we don't know anything about. These things are wrong. It's the little foxes that will fall the vine. It's some of these little things, and we don't think very much of it at all. It's okay because I'm saved, because I'm good. Only God is really good. Only God is good like that. And
Amen.
He's good all the time. But we're not good all the time. We don't talk good all the time.
Amen.
But people will, many people, even some folks that has come, you know, in our presence or on Blog Talk or whatever, and I've been around people, and all they could talk about is all the good things they did, all the good stuff. What about the stuff that wasn't so good that we did? It's going to help somebody else to know that I can talk about it. I can be transparent about it, because that's the only way I'm going to heal. That's the only way. That testimony is going to bring somebody else out and make them not feel like, I can't ever talk about this. I can't ever say this to anybody. But God already knows. God already knows. And in the word, he also says, confess one to another. Talk about it. When we talk about it on this open line and people around the world are listening, don't you know somebody else was dealing with that? Somebody else is dealing with unforgiveness. Why? Because God brought it out. God wants them to hear this message. He wanted us to hear this message. It was a desire of God. Now, one thing about it, God can keep us from falling. The word says that he can keep us from falling when we're listening for him and we don't allow the anger and the bitterness or whatever's going on to override so that we cannot hear God speaking to us. And I tell you something, before this thing happened, this last big bomb that exploded with my family, the Holy Spirit had already talked to me and said to me, leave it alone. Even Bishop was trying to hold me back. He calls me big. They leave it alone. Leave it alone. I said, no, because I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to make me be the villain. They're trying to make me be the bad guy. And I wasn't a bad guy in this situation, but I was acting badly. But I felt like I had to vindicate myself. I had to say what I had to say, and I didn't have to. The Holy Spirit is letting us know, I got this. I got you. Just leave it alone. If anybody does us anything, God is going to, it'll anger. You know, when people do us stuff,
yes.
God says in his word, your enemies are my enemies. Don't try to get the revenge. It's not ours. It's the Lord. The Lord said, I'll fight your battle. Amen? So let him fight it instead of us fighting with people. I just love that you always, mostly every time you minister, you have a story that you've experienced. And you bring that into, you bring it into the message, letting people know, hey, I love the Lord, but sometimes I mess up. Sometimes I mess up.
Amen.
But when we come across like we got it all together, I don't go through anything. I don't ever mess up. You know, even sometimes when people teach, they don't have a story. You know, at some point we're going to have a testimony about ourselves. But some people you're around, you will never hear them talk about it. Apostle, you know. You know, you'll never hear them talk about the wrong things that they did. And what did God deliver you from? God came to save us all. Amen? That means that we all fall short, that we all were sinners at one point, and we fall short of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. This is a wonderful, wonderful word. And Bishop finally said to me, I know I'm going back and forth, but Bishop said, honey, leave it alone. He said, all you're doing is, you know, bringing it all back, and you stay hurt, and there was some unforgiveness there because I was so hurt. If I wasn't so hurt and stayed there for a while, then, see, the forgiveness sets us free. It makes us free from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I forgive you, and you made that clear in the message. I forgive you, and you're not angry anymore. When that person come around, you can embrace that person. You'll be glad to see them. But it's different when we don't forgive. You're standoffish. You don't really mm-hmm. want to speak. You don't really mm-hmm. want to do any of that. I'm just going because I have to, but I don't really want to be here. I don't really want to be in your company.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you see, when you know you've forgiven somebody, when you forgive somebody and they come around, you don't feel this uneasiness. You don't feel all of that. Yeah, they did hurt. They did some bad things, but you don't really feel that uneasiness anymore. It'll be like you're nonchalant. It'll be like, you know, whatever. I forgave them, and I can be around them, and I don't have no problem with it. No problem at all because I forgave them. And so God says to us, I die, and you said it. So you could be free from that, free from the unforgiveness, free from the sin, from the things that caused us to be in trouble with God in the first place. It was sin, you know. And so a lot of people, they're these prolific speakers, and they, I'm so intelligent, and I know so much, and I want to tell y'all all about what I know. I want to tell y'all all about the things I know. I know the word. I'm telling you, big shot. I know the word. I know all of that. But how come you can't talk about some of the things you did? Because you don't want people to know that I've been there too. But we are above only and not beneath. That's true. But we're not above making mistakes. We're not above falling short of the glory of God. And this is what, this message is just like Apostle said. We all need it. And we all make mistakes. And when people bring, you know, sometimes people come to us and say, you know, you did that. And you'd be like, no, I didn't. I didn't do that. I'm not like that. But, yeah, it's hidden. The devil will try to keep it hidden from you so that you can constantly stay in that state of being, that state of mind. Amen. So I just thank God that we can be transparent. That's very, very important, that we can come and talk about the stuff that we did wrong.
Amen.
It doesn't make us like, well, if I say that people might not like me anymore. You know, people might not want to listen to me and be around me anymore because we're steady trying to be people pleasers all the time. How about if we just be a God pleaser? Just please God. And everything else will work out. Amen? But we want people, we just want to please everybody. We want everybody to like us. We want everybody to love us. Well, you know what? You said it in your word, and I'm here to say it again. It's not like that. People are going to hate us because they hated Jesus. Many are not going to like us, let alone, they're going to hate, they're going to dislike us. And that's all right, you know, because Jesus said they would hate us. He said that. So what? It just means that I'm following Christ. You know, Many people are going to love us for what we can do. And we have to come to grips with that. They're going to love us because of what we do for them, not because of the love of Christ, because of what we do. And my mom taught me that a long time ago. She was teaching me at the time, but I didn't receive it. But I have received it years ago now. Many people don't like us and don't love us, but they love what we do. They don't hang around us, but that's okay. We understand that as Christians. We understand. God has given us that understanding and that wisdom to know. Hey, look, they're going to come around. Didn't they do it to Jesus? Everybody didn't love him that followed him. Everybody didn't even like him. But they came around because they know what he would do. He did miracles. He fed the hungry. You know what I mean? He did all of that. He fed the hungry. He did miracles. He taught people. He always was giving. So people came around because of he was a giver. He was a giver. And he loved. No matter what they were doing to him, what they did to him, he still loved them. Even on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know. Why? Because they don't know God. They can't know. When we don't know God, we're in denial about most things. Amen. So thank you so much. I talked too long, but thank you so much. I really appreciate this, and I have to share because I've been through it myself, you know. And it's very good for us to do this because other people are waiting for these testimonies. Amen. So when we teach, we got to teach the way you taught today. I love the way you teach because it always comes straight from the heart. It's not about what you read. Of course, we read and we learn. I love to read. But it's about what you have, that love you have in your heart. Amen. And it always comes out. Glory to God. Even the last time you were on and when you talked about your life. You talked about things that were personal that many people won't admit. You talked about the second job. You talked about these things. You talked about your daughter and things was happening with your daughter. You always do that. And that's truly what I call truly a minister of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because we can come out with it. Amen. And we know the Holy Spirit is going to help us. That's what it's about. Amen. Glory to God. You let people know. Because I got issues. I've let people know on this line too when I had issues with that or whatever the issue is. Let's just keep doing. Keep doing what you're doing. And God is always going to bring us out. Keep doing what you're doing and you're growing. Amen. We have all grown since I've met you all. We have all grown to another dimension.
Amen. That's true.
Amen. Glory to God. And it has some people that, oh, my God, I'm so grown. I'm just so grown. I don't have to talk about that anymore. But we got to talk about what caused us to grow. Hallelujah. That pain, that suffering, and even what God will take us through so we can grow. Amen. God will take us through it because we suffered, and we got to know what the cross is all about. He said, take it up. Take up your cross. Take it up. We got to receive. We got to receive, and we got to be responsible. Take up the responsibility of being a minister that is all for God, 100% for God, but also we know that we're only human. So Amen. God has taken with our humanness. Amen? See, a lot of people don't want to hear nothing about brokenness. They don't want to talk about how God how God took them down to bring them up. They don't want to talk about that. They want people to think they've always been high up there. Only God is that high. Hallelujah. only
Amen.
God
Hallelujah.
Is higher than the highest. He's the highest of the high, above everything, above all and above everybody. Amen? But you got
Amen.
Some people that's been up there, like, I got it all together. But if we could just put ourselves in that scene when Jesus was being bit and falling down, beat, falling down, and then go to the cross and he's bleeding everywhere, his guts are hanging out. My God, it was a gruesome, oh my God, it's a horrific scene. If we could just put, it would be easier if we just start thinking about that, easier to forget. But like I said, we've all been there. Amen? Although it's not talked about. So at the risk of continually repeating myself, I don't want to continue to repeat myself, but I just want to say thank you. It brought out so much, this message. And everybody been there. You might not hear any more comments about it, but we all been there. Amen? Thank you so much, daughter. God bless you. And we are praying for you and your family. Hallelujah. And just give me a holler. Give me
Amen.
A holler. Hallelujah. I'm always available for you, always available for my friends. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Give you a holler too. Amen. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Thank you so much again.
Thank you, Mommy, for, God bless you too. Thank you for adding. You know, I was just holding on because you said so much and you add so much to the sermon and to the word. And just to use the experience, but there's something that you said. There's a few things that you said. So, you know, we always hear the word, the phrase, hurt people, but also
yes.
heal people. And you
That's
said
right.
something about, you know, about coming through. And you know, I don't know if you're able to, but it's something that is necessary. Something that I need. It's something that we all need. You know. Many times we're sharing our testimony, but one thing, and this is something God has spoken to me for years, and this is something I definitely want to be able to do. And when I talk to people, I don't want to always say minister because, you know, my sisters, everybody who call me for advice, you know, it may be something that you're able to do today. But it's like, you know, we talk about our healing, but we don't talk about the steps. You know, when we look at the YouTube videos and people who are showing you how to grow your hair, how to do certain things, they take you through itemization. This is what I did, then this is what I did, and then this is what I did. And you said something that you were once there and you dealt with the hurt. So, you know, I want to ask you if you can remember, how did you deal with it? Like right now, as I'm dealing with this, as God is dealing with me currently in the moment, you know, this situation with my brother, you know, I don't really go to his house anymore. I don't say anything like that. You know, it's like God is saying, you know, you should do this. You know, I can feel in my spirit like he's pushing me to do it, but I'm so resistant. So is there any advice, you know, and it is advice or, you know, things, steps that you took to get to your healing? You were healed. You were brought out of it. But what was your first step to get to that healing? And I think this is what we miss as Christian, as people who are trying to become healed from many things, we don't know what is the first step. How do we do it? And yes, we listen to God and God leads us, but sometimes someone speaking about what they did, you know, this is what I did to get to my healing. These are the steps that I took. It kind of leaves a track for people to say, you know what, let me do that as well. And, you know, when you start, God takes over, but sometimes people don't know how to start. Especially if their relationship is not as strong with God, it's like, what do I do? So I don't know if there's something that you can share today while we're still open to learn.
One of the things is I listened to the advice of my husband, which came through the Holy Spirit, was for me to stop talking about it. Stop talking about it. Because every time I would mention it, I would start feeling angry all over again. And he said, stop talking about it. Just leave it alone. And that was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to God. I went to God, and I asked God to fix it. I say, God, fix it. And then I had to forgive myself, because that's another thing we must do, is forgive ourselves for the things that we didn't do or we did that we shouldn't have done. We got to say, God, forgive me. and I forgive myself. I had to forgive myself because I know I grieved the Holy Spirit more than anything. That's what that would hurt me more than anything. Because I knew I was right about the way I was feeling. I know they had done wrong, but I'm not the one. I was not supposed to be the one to lash out. I was not supposed to do that. But God ministered to me. He ministered to me because I went to him and I said, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me with this. That's the main thing. I need you to help me with this because I can't do this by myself. I can't. And I don't want to continue to talk about it. I don't want to continue to feel in this way, this hurt feeling that I have in my heart. And he began to take it from me, the Holy Spirit. Once we admit that we know that we're in the wrong place in our thinking or whatever it is, once we admit it and go to God about it, that's the Holy Spirit bringing it to us anyway, bringing it to the forefront. And so once we accept it, that acceptance is so, so important. Here's another thing. I had to accept the fact that they are who they are and they do what they do. And me trying to fix it, me trying to change them, it's impossible. We cannot change people. We just have to come to that point where we are in acceptance mode. I accept it. And pray for the people. That's another step. We pray for them, and we pray for this hurt to leave, for these feelings to leave, because they all belong to God. Everybody belong to God. Whether they do us wrong or do us right or whatever, they belong to God, and we must pray. So those are the things, taking the right advice, listening, and then waiting on God. And today I can talk to the people who have hurt me without feeling anything about it. But the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit did it. He did it because I totally surrendered it to him. I can't fix people. I cannot fix them. We don't change folks. That's the thing. That's the main thing, accepting those things we cannot change, accepting some things. The Holy Spirit may say, just stay away for a while. You know, whatever he ministers, we just have to listen because, like I said, God still speaks. He speaks to us. And we just have to be still in our minds long enough to know that God is going to give us that direction and then listen and go in the direction that he's saying to go and pray for that courage. We need the courage because he's family. Your brother is family. So you want to be with your little niece or nephew that's going to be born, and you want to be close to your nieces and your nephews. And so we don't want that to be hindered. So we ask the Holy Spirit to heal in that area so that you can go and be the auntie, the most wonderful auntie that they could ever want is you and your sister-in-law. And you love her. You love your brother. So God, give us the courage to accept those things that we cannot change. Give us the courage to go where we need to go in spite of what has happened. Give you that courage to walk in, and even while God is walking it out, I'm going to go see my little niece and my little nephew or whatever. I'm going to go. I want to be involved when my niece or my nephew is born. I want to be there. But see, the enemy will try to hinder us and try to keep us from some place that we really want to be. We want to be involved. Like with me right now, some of my grandchildren don't call me because of some things that has happened. And and they took the side of their mother. They took the side of her. And because of what happened, they won't talk to me. But I accept that. I accept that. And I pray that one day it'll change, that it will change. In the meantime, I love them, and if they walk through the door right now, I would embrace them, glory be to God, and if I'm invited, I will go. If I'm invited in their company, I'm going to go with the courage that God puts in me. You know, me being in love with Jesus, me being in love with him and I want to please him, I'm going to go. And that love that will exude through you like it does everywhere you go, love changes people. The love of God yeah. changes people. We love them to change. We can't do it, but God's love is able. God's love is mm-hmm. able. So that's what I did, you know, and I allowed certain people back into my home, you know, and it's okay now. It's okay now because the Holy Spirit worked it out. I didn't do it. I Amen. Just surrendered. He says, surrender, cast all your cares upon me, and I'm going to lift you up and out of this thing in due time. Amen. Long enough to work it out of you. Amen?
Yeah.
So that's some of the steps I took first. Number one, listening. And then you said it in your word. Then you take action. Then you mm-hmm. take action. Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me. I'm going to follow your lead. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I'm following the lead of the Holy Spirit. And that's what's going to bring you. That's going to bring you to that point. I can't change my brother. I can't change my sister, my mama.
Mm-hmm.
I can't change y'all. But I know God mm-hmm. is able. Amen?
Amen.
That was what
you know. Amen. I thank God for your encouragement. And I thank God for this discussion because not only am I learning stuff, I know a lot of people on the line is probably learning stuff. But it's not about me today, but like you said, every time I minister the word, the word cuts me going in. Even as I'm releasing it, because it's always something that relates to something that I understand, because God uses his word to speak to all of us. It's not me preaching, and we all say it on this line, it's not we're preaching at people, we're preaching about the situation, and we're preaching the word for ourselves as well as for others. You know, and today, when I say this is a live, fresh dealing, I'm sure there's people mm-hmm. all around the world that will listen to this word that will hear it, you know, and your steps that you're talking about, and everybody's situation is different, you know, and I thank God for your steps that you gave, because with my steps and as the whole, as you said, listen, I'm listening and I'm getting revelation right now of what I have to do. My brother,
Amen.
The situation, my brother told me to stop being Mrs. Fix-It. And when he says stop being Mrs. Fix-It, it's because whenever someone is in need, I'm there, it's there. I come and I help,
mm-hmm.
whatever. I don't look for any return. I just do me. You need me, call me. I will help you. If I have it, I will help you. If I don't have it, I'll let you know I don't have it. But let's try to figure out what we can do, and let's work at it together. And I will be there. And sometimes it becomes burnout. So when he says stop being Mrs. Fix-It and what he did, and I know this is the enemy, and I'll say to everyone on the line, this is where I'm at. I'm crying because I have grieved the Spirit of God because I, you know, like you said, you're grieving the Spirit. It's like you're not doing what God is asking you to do of her. And as I'm crying, I'm asking God for forgiveness because I know I've done something that God didn't like, or I'm not moving as what he's telling me to move. My brother's words was at the end, because he knows me, he knows I'm a person of love, he made sure he vocalized and said, I don't want you to apologize to me. I am not going to apologize to you. Just don't say anything. That puts me in a box. When we allow the enemy to box us in, we become stagnant. And I've done just that. I walked away, and I stayed away, and I gave him to God, and I self. But guess what? My spirit still grieves because I have not done what God is telling me to do. When God is telling me, as I'm sitting right here, you need to go and apologize and let your brother know that you forgive him, despite he tells you he don't want you to come and forgive him. He said, I don't want you to forgive me. I don't want you to do this. When he said that, God is saying you need to go and embrace him, let him know that you love him and that you forgive him for the hurt that he has caused. That's what God is telling me, and I'm here fighting. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that because he said not to do that, Lord, and I'm just not going to do it. And God's like, no, you're at a place where you're at unforgiveness. You cannot grow. You cannot move forward. You cannot experience me fully if you do not walk in my instruction. And the thing is, my brother closed the door to all of us. My sister Desi, she has her own struggles, but despite he mistreats her and we have seen him do it, she still goes there and show her face just to be around the kids and try to be nice to him and help him. And mm-hmm. when my older sister moved to Texas, he shut the door on her, and me and her were close. So I could see where her hurt is. I know where my hurt is, but I could see how separated we are. And I'm like, God, how do we bring us back together? But I need God to bring us back together where we're not burdened, but there's love flowing. And my sister, she didn't only just remove herself from him. Now, this is generational curse. When we don't forgive, it creates generational curse that keeps following generation to generation. Now, the hurt that he created with her, the separation that he wanted, has stopped her from having any communication with him, with his wife, and his two children. She doesn't even care that they're pregnant again. She don't even want anything to do with her nieces, and that's where the hurt and where the enemy wants. The only person that she has an open relationship is my older nephew, his first child, because she took care of him when she was a baby, so that to her is her baby. And I'm like, this cannot be. But here I am. I'm a woman of God. I'm a minister. So my actions, my sister's watching it as well, and this is where we have to be careful as Christians. We want to practicalize what God is telling us because other people are watching our character. And I have to get back in a sense. And despite he won't be the first one to step forward, I've always been the first to forgive. I've always been the first to say I'm sorry. I've always, even if I'm not wrong, I always say I'm sorry. But when he knows this and the enemy knows this and he shut that door, I'm left holding the bag. I'm left holding the hurt. I'm left holding all these things. And I'm like, God, what do I do? He doesn't want it. And God is saying it doesn't matter what he wants. It's what I want. And as you're talking and you're saying this and we're working things out, and this is what the Word of God does. It helps us to work things out.
Yes,
it does. Bringing me revelation in my heart. I was crying. I've been crying even with the Word. It was like, seriously, and you're giving your testimony. I'm tearing up because I see my struggle. And this is where we have to share. Our testimony might be the only word that people hear. It might be an opening for someone. It's not about looking down on you or people saying, oh my God, that happened to you. No, there's so many people that have had way worse, way worse. I remember when I started on this line, and Apostle gave his testimony, and Apostle Stewart gave his testimony, even you guys, and I'm like, Lord Jesus, how do I even fit into this circle here? Because I haven't experienced nothing in my life. But my testimony and my struggle and stuff that I experienced and still experiencing will not be for this generation. It might be for the upcoming generation. It might be to help people who are just coming in that won't experience all those, but will experience what I'm going through or going through it right now. So I really and truly thank God for you. I thank God for Apostle. I thank God for everyone on this line. I thank God that this line is a free line, that we're able to work out our salvation. We're able to hear the Word of God. We're able to give advice. We're able to share transparently, so that people can be healed. It's not about hurting people. It's about healing people. And we are all healed on this line. Amen.
Amen. That's so good. One more thing that Apostle shared with me when I was crying so badly. He remembers. I know he remembers. Mm-hmm. I called Apostle, and I was in the car. My daughter took me for a ride. I'll never forget that day. He took me for a ride. He said, come on, Mama. I was so hurt and crying like somebody had died. Oh, I was so grieved because of what I know I did for my Holy Spirit. And I called Apostle, and he prayed for me. And my daughter just kept saying, it's all right, Mama. It's okay. And my grandson was just rubbing my shoulders and all of that. But none of that was helping. But when I talked to Apostle, he prayed for me, and he said, Pastor, go on a fast. That's another thing. That's another piece of advice that was given to me. Go on a fast. And I did that. I didn't do it right away, but I did. And I'm so better for it, you know. So that's another piece of advice that I was given, and I did take it. I did take that piece of advice, and I used it because we are ones to fast anyway. But, I, you know, that prayer that he prayed, it was so powerful that day. And, again, when we can be transparent, when we can talk about things that we did wrong, it helps us He helps to free us. He helps to free us. Because he, when your brother spoke what he spoke, that was the enemy teaching. Because he want to keep that wedge between you and your brother. And, you know, he want to keep you away. Keep you away from doing something that the Lord wants you to do. That was words from the enemy, what your brother said. Okay? And he doesn't even know that the enemy was using him. He don't know that. He don't. He's not there in that spirit realm where he can understand that what he is doing is wrong. He hasn't come to grips with that yet. But when we pray for them, it gets better for us. For us. And then they'll get better down the line. I had forgot that part that he, Apostle. One thing I love about Apostle too is that, and other ministers on this line, like you just said, we can be transparent and we can talk about our shortcomings. It's not going to take away from us. It's only going to add to us when we can speak about it and send the enemy running off, because he want to keep guilt, hurt, pain. He want to keep us in that place, and that's the way he does it. Amen. By shooting those negatives into our mind. Why should you have to do that? Why should you have to be the one? And God is saying why? So that we will be released. And that too will release them. They may not say it, but it will. Eventually, it will. So, again, thank you for this word. And you also said that it's a word, it's a refresher. Every word that we bring out on this line is a refresher. Because as I said in the message last time, there's only 66 books? And it's all the same. And the word of God will never change. So therefore, we're preaching the same thing. If we're preaching from the word, preaching from the truth of the word of God, then it's not going to change. God is never going to, that word in that Bible is not going to change. So when we minister, we're all ministering from the same book if we're ministers of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So it's going to be a refresher. And, you know, you got some people that want to come up with other stuff, come up with other stuff. No, let's just stay in the word. Let's just stay in there where Jesus was teaching us how to live, how to work things out, how to love, how to forgive, how to come to grips with this life that can be so harsh. Amen. So this is what we love about Block Talk and Apostle. He's always there for us. When we text Apostle, if you're going to the doctor, he's going to pray for the good report. Whatever's going on, he's going to take the time to pray. This is truly a man of God, truly a man that love us, like he always say, from the center of his heart, not from the bottom, but from the center. And we need spiritual friends that are spiritual and stay and live in the spirit, and they're going to be able to minister to us and keep us and help us to stay on track. Because we all get bombarded by things of the enemy. He's not going to stop. He's not going to stop bringing negatives and causing deceit and causing lies and causing trouble. That's who does it. That's who does it. That's who's trying to do it through your brother, keeping that wedge in the family. But God's going to give you the courage to do what he wants you to do. It comes from him. It's not anything we can do. It's all what God is able to do. And you're going to go there, and you're going to do exactly what God said to do, and you're going to feel so good about it. Matter of fact, you're already feeling good about it because you know you're going to do what God said. You're going to be obedient to God. You're going to go there, and now you're going to go and spend more time with your niece, your nephews, or I don't know if it's niece, nephews, And when the new baby is born, you're going to be there. You're going to be there to hold that baby and love that baby. And they're going to, they have the best aunt they could ever have in this earth because of your love and because of your giving. Amen. One day your brother is going to learn to appreciate you. He will. God's going to fix it. Why? Because you surrender to him now. Amen? Amen.
Amen. You know, God has a way of sharing, you know, doing stuff and letting you see his plans, you know, as you go along. And, you know, this was like last year, my husband said, you know, when I come, you know, you and my brother, your brother and I, we're going to be friends. And I remember
Amen.
I said to him, I said, I don't know how that's going to happen. I said, because he ain't even my friend. I said, you could go there and you could be friends with him by yourself. You know? And my husband's like, whenever I'm doing something that is not of God, he always said, Minister Madness. I was like, what? He said, no, you can't say that. He said, how do you know? He said, we're going to be friends. I said, well, you go by yourself. It'll be you and him all the time having a party. But I said, God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. But that just shows that, you know, we are human and we could jump, you know, our flesh could rise up. But my husband always saying, like the Word of God says, so let your, you know, let your spirit have full control of your flesh. That means stay within the spirit of God when you deal with every situation and do not allow yourself, your worldly self, to take control. But I thank God again for this word. It was a powerful word, and I have learned so much. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The line is open. I'm sorry for anyone else that would like to add, or if you have a testimony you would like to share, please do so at this time. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank
you. If not, Apostle, please let me know what you want us to do or want me to do. Amen.
It was so encouraging, the word. It's such a blessed word, you know. And we are getting so much, even in the response of Apostle Washington. You know, when you open that floodgate of forgiveness, what's happening is that you are somewhat repentant, because forgiveness is locked in repentance. You can't forgive nobody unless you repent. You know, it's locked
true.
In. They both go hand in. They go hand in hand. And a lot of times, like you were saying, you don't want to talk to him because he don't want to talk to you. But it's not about him. See, and that's where we lose focus. It's not never about the other person. It's about us. Why is it about us? Because we are sons and daughters of the Most High. We representing
Amen.
Him. And the sign we representing him. And if you're really going to be a person of the kingdom, a master of the kingdom, you got to take, not you, let me say it this way, God forgive me. We got to make moves that we don't want to make. You hear what I'm saying? We have to make some moves that we don't want to make. You know, I've been places that I can put them on my finger that I know the people don't care too much for me. I can tell you that. But knowing the anointing that's in my life and who I'm representing, I know that when they see you flowing in that anointing, it messes them up. It messes them up because they think they can handle or stop your anointing. You just got to flow. You see, and if you allow your brother or the church, you're the one losing. And you're the one that got a faith, because who you want to get charged? God gonna charge you. God gonna charge you. Because he said, listen to me, not you. We got to be the light of this world. We got to be the salt in this world. We got to make the difference in this world. The people of this world are not going to make a difference for the kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? They're not going to make a difference. I walk away from my phone. They're not going to make a difference in the kingdom. We got to make the difference. We're the one that makes the difference. That when people say this, oh Lord, I didn't know he, I didn't know she was saved and sanctified. I know that she was living with Christ. Oh, I didn't know he was saved. I thought he was, I always thought he was a drug dealer. I thought he was a drug dealer. All that stuff started coming up because now you're stepping out in the full armor of who God says you are. You hear what I'm saying? Not because you want to please them, but you said it in the message, because you got to please God. And what God is looking for us to do is he wants us to humble ourselves. He wants us to humble ourselves. A lot of times we can speak so boldly of humility, but when it comes to us humbling ourselves, we can't humble ourselves. Because a lot of times we think we arrive, and everybody should bow to us because we arrive. You hear what I
That's
said?
Right.
We think a lot of us think that we arrive. Uh-huh. We got it together because we've been preaching for 50 mm-hmm. years, 40 years, 35 years. We arrive. I drive this. I live this. I lived in this place. I lived that place, and all that kind of foolishness that don't have no benefits when it comes to God. God don't care where you live, what you live in, what you drive. He cares about your soul. That's what God is care. He's interested in your soul as you're living your life so that you can be with Him, because He wants you to be with Him, and He don't want you to let anything or anyone cause you to be left out. Because you're going to put yourself out. We're going to put ourselves out. Do you hear what I say? We're going to put ourselves out by not obeying His word, by not following His instructions.
Wow.
You know, by not following His instructions. God said, just go on and forgive. Just go on and forgive. Just go on and look, they don't want to hug you, but you hug them. I had an elder was in the same church as me. Here, listen to me. This going to bless you now. Going to bless all of us. He was in the same church as me. When I first come to the church, for some reason or another, the Holy Spirit started to move in me and through me like fire. You know, and I'm not using the Bible. The Bible inside of me is what's coming forth. I'm not opening the King James Bible. I'm not opening the NLT, the NLV, the ESP. I'm not opening none of them. I'm just speaking what God is putting in my heart. And
Amen.
The pastor looked at me, and he said, son, I'm glad that you're part of us. Well, this particular elder in the church, let me tell you something. He became so vindictive. If he could kill me, he would have killed me.
Mm-hmm.
He thought, I come to take his position. I said, look. So I told him, I said, look, I ain't come here looking for no position. I had a position when I came here. I'm safe.
Amen.
That's my position. That's my position. Not what I can do. My position is that I'm saved. See, we forget about that. We think, I can preach good. I know how to hoop. I know how to do. No, that's not it. Are you saved? Are you really saved? Are you sanctified? Are you washing His blood? And if you're washing the blood, it's going to show. People are going to see. See? You ain't got to tell nobody. You ain't got to even have your Bible. You don't even have to have your Bible with you. You're going to be willing to encourage your brother, your sister. You're going to help them. You're going to help them to grow, because, you see, we grow from each other. Listen to me. We grow from each other. Did I say that? Did I say that? We don't got it. I don't have it. I remember one time, this was a few years ago, my wife was talking. And I just cut up at her. Didn't ever touch her, but I just cut up at her. And I could see that I have hurt her down to the core of her soul. You know how our place is, really, Minister Butler. I went back in the bedroom, and I lay across the bed. And when I lay across the bed, the Holy Spirit said to me, this is how He talked to me, who you think you are?
Mm-hmm.
That's how He talked to
mm-hmm.
me. He said, who you think you are? I gave her to you. And how you treating her. See, you may not slap her, you may not kick her, you may not bite her, but the words you speak to her hurt her spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
My,
yes.
My, my.
You have never had a whipping. You have never had a whipping like that till you get one. I tell you,
uh-huh.
He whipped me so high, I lay there on the bed. And guess what I was doing on the bed? I'm trying to build up the confidence that you're talking about now, Minister Butler. I got to build up the confidence because I got to go and tell her, this is what the confidence is. Humility, humbling yourself, that realize that it's not you, but it's God. It's not you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me. It's not us, but it's God. And when we get to that place, now you go in there and you say, I said, baby, you know I love you with every inch of my heart. I give you the drops that flow through my veins. And I want you to know that I'm sorry from the center of my heart for the way I spoke to you. That wasn't me. I said that was Satan taking control of, trying to take control of our marriage. And I want you to forgive me. And I started weeping. Because as I was talking, the Holy Spirit was cutting me with that two-edged sword. He was cutting me.
Yes,
and my wife says, she says to me, I forgive you, baby. I forgive you. I forgive you. And that gave me life. That gave me life. See, once you go to your brother and you say, Evan, I want to talk to you. And before he start with his running off his mouth, because you know he's going to run around, because I know your brother.
Yeah.
He likes to be in control. He likes to be in control. I just want to tell you that I'm sorry for the way I talk to you or I respond to you. I want to let you know that I love you. I know that God loves both of us. And I'm not going to let the devil destroy what God has created between the two of us. We are flesh and blood. We have the same blood. We got the same spirit. And stop. Leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it alone. When you do that, I care what he says. You done did. You done. The way the folks said down south, you done did what God said you should have done. You know, you done did what God said you should have done. And you just shut your mouth. And even if he started to go off and stuff, don't even pay it no mind. Shut it out. Because you did what God said to do. You know, because the devil always going to flare up. He's going to flare up. He wants to show his colors. Now, you think he really listened to you? You think he heard you? You think he believe in anything you say? See? You got to shut it up quick, before Satan stops you, brother. And when you do that, you're coming out victorious. He going to get you victory, too. Listen to me. That's what you got to do. And I had to do that. And I tell you, my wife and I, man, we like peas in the pod. We not perfect. I'm going to tell you this right now. We not perfect, but we like peas in the pod. And I like doing things without she asked me to do stuff, you know. She says, well, I'm going to work. I'm going to work a couple of hours. I'm going to run the dishwasher early. When I come home, I'm going to empty the dishwasher. I said, well, okay, to myself. I don't tell her nothing because she's coming home with an expectation that she had just worked 4 hours and she got to come home and empty the dishwasher. But then she come home, the dishwasher's done empty. I done run the vacuum. I done emptied the washing machine, you know. I done put the clothes in the dryer, you know. I'm getting ready to fold the clothes, you know what I'm saying? And she can't say nothing. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm working with her. She working with me. She not the boss. I not the boss. We working together. We got the same master. We getting the same check from the same pair master. That's Jesus. You know, once you got that mindset, man, you can't lose. You mess the devil up. You slap him everywhere you can slap him. When you operate like that, I wouldn't tell you a lie when you operate like that. You got to always remember that who you are, you belong to Christ. And who going to come after you? The devil. Not because you're good looking, not because you look good, not because you got a job. He coming because you belong to Christ. That's why he
Amen.
Coming.
Amen.
And he want to make you always feel uneasy. Like, you can't never do nothing right. Me and my brother, my sister, we ain't never going to operate together. We ain't never going to know that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because I got power. He may not have the power I have, but I got the power. See, I know I got the power. See, when you know you got the power, you know how to talk to the devil. See? when the devil was talking to Jesus, Jesus didn't even pay him no mind. Jesus let him run his mouth, because that's all Satan does. He run his mouth. Jesus let him run his mouth. And after he run his mouth, Jesus said, look, this is the whole matter of fact right now. I'm in control. Not mm-hmm. you, Satan. I'm in control. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's how you operate. Yes. Your brother not in control. The God that's in you is in control. And once you know that, you already got the victory. That's half of the victory is knowing who you are in Christ. That's half of the victory. Matter of fact, that's all the victory. Once you know who you are in Christ, your brother, I have to submit. Once you know who you are in Christ. But you got to know. You got to know. Nobody can know for you.
Amen.
See what I'm telling you? You got to know. You can't second guess who you are. All second guessing is out of the picture. You got to know who you are. Just like I said. You got to know who you are. And when you know who you are, all second guessing is out of the picture. You know, I've been doing this here. I've been doing this air condition for 30 plus years. And a lot of times when I'm, before I go, I ask the Holy Spirit to show me the easy way, because it's the easy way. It's easier
Amen.
Than what they talk to you in school. And the Holy Spirit knows
Amen.
The easy way. But when you depend on Him, guess what happened? He shows you. And you can get in and get out and make money. You don't have to kill a lot of time. You know? You don't have to kill a lot of time. And it's the same thing with relationships and family relationship and so on. But the people, like you said in the message, the people that you really got to pay attention to is family and friends.
Yeah.
You got to ask God to show you who truly is friend, who truly is foe. Who truly is a friend and who truly is a foe. Because everybody is not friend. As the apostle said it. Some people only reach you for what you can do for them.
Amen.
That's the truth.
It's
and true. I don't need no, I'm saying this way. I got to say it this way. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't need nobody to do anything for me. What I need to do is love me the way I love you. That's more than enough. Love me the way I love you. Love me the way I love you, and that's more than anything that you can give me.
Amen.
Just love me the way I love you. You know?
Amen.
And because people think that relationship is built on gifts, or which you buy me a car this week, next week I buy you a tractor trailer. I buy you a tractor trailer, next week you buy me an airplane. Next week you buy me a yacht. Man, foolishness. That stuff is all things that pass away. Those things get older. After a few months, you got a new car off the lot, and you are so excited about it. It smells good. The smell of the spray inside the car to entice you. It smells so good. After a few months, the smell goes. After a few months, the worth of it goes down. You go back to the car. It doesn't lose the shine, but it loses the value. You go back to the place, its value dropped down $10,000, $15,000, depending on the type of car that you got in just a few months. And that stuff is, that's nothing. If you got somebody that genuinely love you, care about you, respect you, honor you for who you are in Christ Jesus, you can't ask for no more than that. You can't ask for no more than that. You can't ask for no more than that. I'm telling you, you cannot ask. I tell the truth. You cannot ask for no more than that. You know, and that's what I work. That's how I work. That's where I work. I don't look at what people. And I love to give gifts, and I love to get gifts, but I don't build my relationship on gifts. I want to build my relationships on gifts.
Yeah, that's true. It's built upon love. He built upon love.
True, genuine love.
That's right. That's how it's built.
Amen. So many people that I do stuff for, Apostle, and I got some people that I had to shut down because, and I tell this because we are all brothers in Christ. I got some people that I have to shut down, let them know who I really am, because what happened is I've been helping some people in different countries, even here in America. And the people go on on Messenger and sending me love notes that they want to be with me. I said, man, you got the wrong person. You know what I'm saying? What I do for you is from the center of my heart. My center of my heart is where God is. And that's what I do for you. I'm not doing something because I'm going to eventually take you to the Motel 6 or Holiday Inn or the Marriott or something like that. You know, you got the wrong idea. Don't see, because the devil's so smart. The devil is smart. People think the devil is smart. He's cunning. Hallelujah. Same place he's using the God. He wants to take us out, and we gotta understand that. Anything that you have that glorify God, the devil is after. Believe what I'm telling you. He knows if you and your brother and your sisters and your mama and your uncle and aunt and all the cousins and nephews are together and you are praising God and the love of God is flowing to you all, that you all are, what do you think he wants to do? He wants to destroy that.
Yeah.
Your brother can't walk in the anointing. You truly can't walk in the anointing if you got that thing against you. You can't walk in it. I'm telling you right now. You can't walk in it. You can speak, you can preach, you can teach, you can sing, you can dance. But until you get that thing fixed, that's like got a sore. And you know you got a sore, right? And you know where the medication is. A Band-Aid. But you don't go get it. You know where a Band-Aid is, but you don't go get it. No. God is saying you got to go get it. I got the Band-Aid. You know, I got the Band-Aid. I'm giving you the Band-Aid. Use it. Use it. And when you do that, you begin to see all things change. It's not going to happen all at one time. I want to tell you that too. It's not going to change all at one time. But it's going to start changing that moment. See, I'm telling the truth. It's going to start changing that moment.
Amen.
And it's going to get better. It's going to get better. You know, you're going to start to fellowship. You're going to start to fellowship, talking, and it's getting better and better and better and better. Because God must be glorified. See, all God wants to get out of your life and my life and our life is glory. And when we doing the right things, God is glorified, and the enemy is terrified. When we doing the right things, you know.
Amen.
So,
you know, I know, you know, with my brother, you know, I know God has been working on me, you know, like Pete's touching on it, you know, But I think this week God really pulled the full stop, the plug, and like really like put his hand on me. Because last week when my sister-in-law told me, you know, that they were pregnant, you know, and that, you know, my oldest niece is going to be 5 and they're trying to do this and they're trying to do that. It's like every door that she tried to open to allow me to show, like, right here, I kind of, like, put a wall there and block it. And God, as she's talking, God is like, this is so not like you. I can hear it in my spirit. And I'm like, well, he said, I don't want to be in the 60s. So I don't want to have anything to do with them. And it's like my other niece that's 2.5 years old, the one that was born the day the world shut down for the pandemic. You know, my older niece loves me, loves Alondra. Like, they even thought, like, Alondra's her, like, best friend, because when she sees Alondra, she doesn't see anybody else in the room but her. But the other 2.5-year-old one, she doesn't know us. So when she sees us interacting with Nye, you know, she just stops and she looks and, like, who is this? And I feel like I can't show her love. Like, I'm showing her love. I want to, but she's so standoffish with everyone that she's missing that part. And when I did what I did last week and kind of like just like shut it out, like I don't want to have anything to do with it. Just do what you need to do, you know, and that's it. I felt horrible. And I told you Monday, God was like, yeah, you know, on Saturday, that was not you. And this is not the child. This is not the daughter that I know. So I'm going to bring it all out, all open. Cry your eyes out. Cry your heart out. Yes, you have upset me, Undera. And I'm like, Father, forgive me. You know, but I'm like, God, forgive me. Like, seriously. Like, oh, my God. Like, even, like, as Apostle Washington is giving her testimony, I'm bawling. My eyes are, like, flooding. I'm like, Jesus, really forgive me. And he's like, you know what it means. And I understand now. Thank you, guys. And I thank God for really allowing us to open this door and
talk to it, because it's not just for me. It's for me now, but there's many people who are dealing with these type of hurt, and it's hidden hurt that you don't know is there, and it's going to fester and just, like, separate you, like you said, from God. So to speak about it and understand how to move through it is very important, and I thank God for this teaching today that he has taught us. Amen.
All right. I'm going on mute if nobody's going to share.
I'm a student right now because I am a student, seriously, because I'm being learned.
If nobody's going to respond, I am going to go on mute because I want to start up this air condition and get away from here and send a man a bill so he can send me a true cash out. Okay? You hear that?
Amen. So you want me to go ahead and pray out?
If nobody's okay. if nobody's gonna respond, just go on and pray out.
Okay, I'll get to that in a few minutes. If anybody else would like to share or add, please do so. If not, Apostle, I will pray out once in a few minutes. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, dear Lord, and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you continue to be with each and every one of us, dear Lord, those that are on the line, dear Lord, and those that are not on the line. For those that were able to hear the word or will hear the word, Father God, we pray that it brings more revelation and healing to us in the mighty name of Jesus, healing to them and their family in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for those that are on the line today, dear Lord, even if they were not able to speak. Father God, I pray that they receive all that you have to give today from us in the mighty name of Jesus, for each of us in the mighty name of Jesus. Merciful Father, I thank you for Pastor Washington and Apostle Callender, Father God, for all that they shared, their testimony that brought revelation. I thank you, Father God, for allowing me to be on this line today, Father God, to receive the healing that you have for me in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that you allow us, Father God, to continue to do your will. Father God, continue to allow us to practicalize your word and to live your word, not just speak it, Father God, or know it or read it, Father God, but to practicalize it, to live it, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for taking away hurt, sadness, pain, suffering, Father God, within us in the mighty name of Jesus, within our family. Father God, I thank you for mending broken homes, mending broken hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to see where the enemy is trying to create separation, Father God, and division in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, dear Lord, that you are all-powerful and you are a healer beyond anyone that we know. You are a healer, Father God, of the spirit. You are a healer, Father God, of the body. You are a healer, Father God, of our souls in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, merciful Father. We thank you for all that you do, seen and unseen in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for Apostle Callender, even though he is at work, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will open the doors that more can come, Father God, and that he will receive the funds that he needs in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for Pastor Washington, Apostle Washington, and her husband, Bishop Washington, Father God, that you will continue to heal their family. You will continue to strengthen them. Father God, you will continue to open doors, Father God, and close doors, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, to things that are not of you or the things that will thrive and bring them closer to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for Apostle Stewart, Father God, and Pastor Joyce Stewart in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, that everything that concerns their life, concerns their children, concerns their ministry, concerns the work that they are doing, Father God, within the church and within every ministry they have, dear Lord, that you will continue to provide their needs. You will continue to strengthen them. You will continue to keep them in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for victory upon each and every one of us. We thank you for Deacon Frazier, Father God, for the love that he carries for you, Father God. We pray, Father God, for his family, his mother, Father God, that she will continue, Father God, to grow in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God, that he will continue to grow in you. And we pray for whatever the desires of his heart is, dear Lord, that you will grant it and fulfill it. Father God, we thank you for Sister Tina and the work that she is doing. Father God, even though we have not heard her voice, we know that she's still working and doing in the kingdom for you. We thank you for Evangelist. We thank you for Evangelist Campbell and Evangelist Sheila, Father God, for Mother Grant in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, for each and every one of the other ministers that are on this line that I might not remember their name now, Father God, you know them. And I ask you, dear Lord, to bring healing upon them. Bless their sisters, bless their brothers. Father God, for things that they are praying for, Father God, open doors in the mighty name of Jesus. If they are looking for husbands, Father God, let the godly man, a godly husband, find them. If they're wives they're looking for, Father God, let the godly woman find them. Bring your son and daughter, Father God, that will add to them in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for all of our families near and far, and we give you praise because only you are able to keep us, only you are able to deliver us, only you are able to heal us, Father God, and only you are able to allow the manifestation, Father God, of our hearts and the promises that you have given us to come to fulfillment. So we look to you, and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Apostle?
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You pray and close out already. So we have talked to you all next week if the Lord say the same, or tomorrow if the Lord say the same. You all have a blessed evening. Mm-hmm. Remember, Deacon Fraser is on tonight. I wasn't on last night, so I'm going to try my best, utmost best, to be on tonight with him and have a good time in the Lord. God bless you. Love you all, but God loves you more.
Love.
Talk to you soon.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.